In the last interview of Advances in Eye Care, we're going to speak to Dr. Michael Crossland about electronic devices and adaptive software and how they may benefit visually impaired patients.
OcSight is not quite the same as OrCam. Whereas OrCam uses text-to-speech and will use people's ears to access information, OcSight is more developed for people who have some residual vision. It's a camera system again, but this time it will create an enhanced image for the person to look at.
Dr. Crossland is an optometrist from Moorfields Eye Hospital who works in the Low Vision Clinic, specialising in the rehabilitation of children and adults. He's here today to talk to us about emerging technologies that can be used to help visually impaired individuals in their everyday lives. Electronic devices and adapted software are increasingly being sought out by patients. It is therefore becoming more important that optometrists have a good understanding of the technology available and how it may benefit a visually impaired patient so that they can give the best advice. Initially, we'll focus on two specific products, the OrCam and the OcSight. We'll then move on to some of the other technology options available to patients. Here to tell us more is Dr. Crossland. Thank you for joining us on Advances in Eye Care. To begin, what is the OrCam and what does it offer the visually impaired?
OrCam is a really clever device. It's a text-to-speech system which will basically use a camera to look at written text and will read it out loud to the person who's using it. A strength of OrCam is it's a really nice, small unit. It fits on the side of a pair of glasses with a magnetic attachment and there's no wires or anything like that at all. The way you use it is you look towards something and either tap the side of the OrCam or point to what it is you're looking at. If it's, for example, a page of text, it will start reading the page of text out to the person. And the speaker is very close to the ear, so it's not so loud that everybody else in the room can hear it as well. It also works for the distance. So, for example, if you're looking at a signpost with different places on, you point your finger towards what you're looking at. OrCam will see where you're pointing your finger and will read the text above where you're pointing out loud to you. In the more recent versions, it does some other things as well. It will recognise faces, so you can program in different faces and it will say who is walking towards you and who the person is. It will identify currency, it will tell you what time it is, and it will do other things like this.
Does the OcSight offer anything different or do anything better than the OrCam?
So OcSight is not quite the same as OrCam. Whereas OrCam uses text-to-speech and will use people's ears to access information, OcSight is more developed for people who have some residual vision. It's a camera system again, but this time it will create an enhanced image for the person to look at. This image can be magnified, it can have its contrast changed, so for example, edges can be made brighter, or it can be contrast reversed, so that if you're looking at print, for example, it'll be white against a black background. One thing which OcSight does specifically is it will also reduce the size of the image. So if you have tunnel vision, for example, from retinitis pigmentosa, you can use OcSight to look at a corridor, for example, and it will show you all the obstacles towards the edge of the corridor compressed into your residual visual field. It looks like a slightly larger than normal pair of glasses. The way it actually works is it has one camera on the side and projects the image you're looking at onto a sort of mirror in the middle of the glasses.
So the image is shifted from a non-seeing to a seeing part of the retina. Are there any other systems that do something similar?
eSight is another electronic magnifier. This is made specifically for people with visual impairment. And again, it will create enlarged and contrast-enhanced versions of the scene. There's also another system called Sight Plus, made by a company called Give Vision, which does a similar thing but is based on smartphone technology. So it's a sort of virtual reality headset with a smartphone in it. And the smartphone camera is used to enlarge the scene, which is then displayed on the virtual reality headset. And again, this can be used to help with distance vision or with reading.
The OrCam and the OcSight are specific low vision devices. Is there scope for visually impaired patients to use more commonly available technology, such as computers or tablets?
The availability of electronic books has been really remarkable for people with visual impairment. Years ago, when the last Harry Potter book was launched, the large print version wasn't launched at the same time as the standard print version because they were so concerned about security of the manuscript and it being stolen. This meant that people who were visually impaired weren't able to read the book at the same time as their friends with good sight. And in fact, the RNIB had a campaign called Right to Read on the basis of that. And here we are 15 years later, and any book launch will be immediately launched electronically, which means people can manipulate the format and the font and the size to whatever they want, and also have it read to them as well using text-to-speech. A couple of extra things which are worth mentioning are RNIB Bookshare, which is a system which gives electronic versions of textbooks for pupils either with a visual impairment or dyslexia. The school registers the child with visual impairment or dyslexia for the service, and then they receive editable formats of all of their textbooks. This means they can be printed out in whatever size they like or read in any tablet or computer device to make it more easy for them to see. The other thing which is worth mentioning is that all libraries now have electronic books available as well through services such as Overdrive. And again, this creates a good opportunity for people to be able to get books without charge from their local library and have them presented on their tablet or their Kindle or whatever device in whatever format they like.
What about using other devices?
This is something that's really, really improved recently. So depending on the level of visual impairment which people have, they can use various different options on their computers or their tablets to see more easily. At its most basic level, Windows and iOS both allow people to enlarge and enhance the size of text they're looking at. You can also manipulate the contrast so that writing can be white on black, for example, rather than black on white, or that shades of grey can be enhanced so everything is much darker. If people's vision is a little bit poorer, they can also use systems like Narrator or VoiceOver, which will read everything on the screen to the person using the computer. We did some research about this a few years ago, although I'd always assumed that text-to-speech systems like this were only really for people with a very, very severe visual impairment. We found lots of people with quite mild visual impairment also liked having text read to them rather than reading it themselves. I think a lot of this is about the speed of information, so the easier it is, the quicker it is to read something, the better the comprehension. And of course, this also extends now to smartphones and tablets as well. So, for example, text messages can be read to you, or audio directions if you're trying to navigate. One problem which a lot of teenagers tell me in clinic is that emojis really don't work well on text-to-speech systems. So if someone sends a message with lots of smiley faces, the person hears smiley face, smiley face, smiley face, smiley face, and so on, which is apparently very frustrating.
Yes, I imagine that would sound rather annoying. Are there any other ways that a smartphone can be used to help the visually impaired?
So in addition to things such as text-to-speech and enlarged print, one thing which a huge number of people with visual impairment do now is use their smartphone as a magnifier. So very simply, if they're looking at, for example, a railway platform sign at a station, they'll take a photograph of the sign with their phone and zoom in on it. And the great advantage of this, of course, is that it draws no attention to themselves whatsoever. So if you go to a busy railway station and use binoculars or telescopes to try and see the signs, you may well attract some unwanted attention. If you're using your phone to do the same thing, nobody will look twice at you. And some of the other very basic things from smartphones are useful too, just as simple as using the torch. So if your vision is poor in dim light, using the smartphone torch, again, is a very portable and easy way to improve brightness.
Are there any apps that are user-friendly for the visually impaired?
People use Facebook, they use Gmail, they use all of their different services like that. A lot of standard apps are extremely useful. People will use navigation software with an earpiece so that rather than having to find a street name, they can just find exactly where they are using their navigation app. In London and other cities where they have good public transport systems, services like CityMapper will tell you what the next bus is going to be at each bus stop. And that means, again, you're not using a telescope to find out what bus is next. You're looking at your phone and either having speech or an enlarged view to know what the next bus at the bus stop will be. However, beyond that, there's a range now of new apps which have been developed specifically for people with visual impairment. I'd like to speak about two particularly. The first one is called Supervision Plus. This is a free download which is available on Android or Apple devices. It's made by the Scapin's Eye Research Institute at Harvard University, and it's a magnifying app. There's lots of magnifier apps which are available, although this is much nicer than many. It does good image stabilisation, it has a high quality image, and it will also do contrast reversal, so people can use this as a low cost alternative to a CCTV magnifier or desktop electronic magnifier. The second category of apps I'd like to talk about are artificial intelligence apps. The most widely known of these is Seeing AI, which is available for Apple devices and is made by Microsoft. This is a suite of different applications, and what it will do is use the smartphone's camera to give more information about the world around. So, for example, it can read printed text, much like the Orcam does. It will also read handwritten text, and it will recognise faces. So again, if faces are programmed in, it will say who the person you're pointing the camera towards is. And this is really useful because a lot of people say that one of the worst things about visual impairment is walking past their friends or the neighbours in the street without them recognising them and being thought of as rude. There are other similar apps which are available. KNFB Reader is a similar app which is available both for Apple and Android devices. And Envision AI, that's ENVISION AI, is a similar app available for Android. It's worth pointing out that Seeing AI is free of charge, whereas the others have a small charge associated.
How can optometrists be sure that they keep up to date with what's available to their patients?
It's a good question because things change so much and there's so much new technology being made available for people with visual impairment, but also for the general population. So, for example, smart speakers like the Alexa device by Amazon is something which has been quite widely adopted by people with a visual impairment. The main way that I keep up with this information, honestly, is from the patients I see in clinic. I see a lot of children, teenagers and young adults with visual impairment, and almost every day in clinic people will tell me a new thing they're using or point out a new device and ask more information about it. There's a few more formal sources of information, one of which is a podcast from America called Cool Blind Tech, which is very entertaining and reviews lots of these new devices as they're launched. For Apple devices, there is a website called applevis.com. That's applevis.com. And that very quickly reviews all the new generations of Apple software and hardware with a specific focus on how they work for visually impaired people. And that's available again as audio or as written text. And for a lot of these new sort of smart home devices like talking thermostats and talking washing machines, there's a very useful site called Vital Tech. That's vitaltech.org.uk. And that's something which, again, has a huge array of information for visually impaired people about new devices. So if somebody says to me, I'm having a real problem with weighing ingredients in the kitchen, for example, that's where I'd often go and look to see for information which would be useful for them.
If needed, where can patients be referred for more advice or additional resources?
So very often local societies of visual impairment have people who are interested in technology. So pointing towards your local visual impairment charity is a useful point of contact. RNIB also have information available on their website. They have an App of the Month podcast, for example. I think it's useful for optometrists to have lists of apps and devices which are useful to people with visual impairment, which you can hand out and give to people. If you're interested in getting more involved in these systems, the companies which make and distribute these devices are usually very happy to come and speak at local optical meetings or to come and demonstrate products in your practice. So it might be useful to contact some of these companies, such as Orcam, GiveVision and Oxsight, and ask for demonstrations and product information. One thing I would like to point out, though, is that although these devices are really exciting, some of our recent research with the GiveVision device showed that a lot of people found it useful, but still found their own magnifiers just as helpful. So although people might want to spend thousands of pounds on a very high-tech device, they may actually be able to perform a task just as well with a good pair of spectacles and a simple hand magnifier, for example.
Lastly, can people get funding for these low-vision devices?
Some of these devices are extremely expensive. They range from the apps like Seeing AI, which are free, although of course you have to have bought a smartphone or an iPad first of all, through to things like the eSight, which can cost about £10,000. Most of the devices I've talked about are somewhere in the low thousands of pounds, so between about £2,000 and £3,000. These aren't devices which are available on the conventional hospitalised service low vision scheme, such as hand magnifiers and telescopes are, but there are different sources that people might find they can get funding from. If people are in employment, the Access to Work scheme can give support for the purchase of these sorts of devices. Similarly, if they're in education, then a local teacher for vision impairment service can provide grants for these sorts of equipment as well. For older adults, you may find that charities will provide grants to pay for this sort of equipment. Particularly for people who've been serving in any of the armed forces, there's Blind Veterans, which is a charity which provides support for people who are ex-armed forces. Other local charities are often able to make grants for these sorts of the products, not necessarily blind charities, but groups like the local Rotary or Lions, for example, may make money available for people to purchase these sorts of devices. The local rehabilitation team or the RNIB helpline may be able to give people more advice about how to get funding for these devices.
Michael, thank you for this. It is interesting to hear about the evolving technology, and good to know that everyday apps and technology can be harnessed as visual aids to make life a bit easier for the visually impaired. If you found this interview interesting and want to know more about the assessment of visually impaired patients, including magnification and vision assessment techniques, as well as reviews of available low vision aids, please go to docit.info and look for The Aging Eye Visual Impairment, Part 1. This is the final edition of Advances in Eye Care. We would like to thank you for listening and invite you to look out for the new Docit podcast, Sound Optometry. It'll be launching very soon. As always, we value your input, so please send us your feedback on what you've heard today. You can contact us by email at inquiries@docit.info or tweet us at docitinfo. If you'd like to find out more about what we've discussed, remember you can find references and further reading for all topics by visiting the Docit website, where you can also complete the CET exercise. That's all from me, Jeff Watts. Thank you for listening.